In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. St. Paul speaks today of a crown that's laid up for him in the heavenly kingdom, a crown that he will receive because he has endured to the end. He has fought the good fight. He has run the race. And so he says he can look forward to this crown that's laid up for him. But then he says it's laid up for him and for all those who love the Lord's appearing. All those who love the Lord's appearing. And that word appearing in Greek is the word from which we get epiphany. All those who love the Lord's epiphany, which means the manifestation, the making known, the revealing of something. And this is fitting, of course. This is the gospel that's given for the Sunday before the Feast of Epiphany, or Theophany, as we even more properly call it, because it's the manifestation of God, Theophany. So there's a connection between this passage and that feast that we're about to celebrate. But what St. Paul is telling us is that there's a crown laid up for all those who love the Lord's manifestation, his epiphany, his appearing. So, of course, to love the Lord's appearing means to love the Lord, to want him to be present, to want him to come, to be eager to meet him. And it's those who are eager to meet the Lord who patiently endure till the end. You know, because St. Paul's already said he receives the crown because of his patient endurance. He says, I know that I've been enduring and I've been awaiting the Lord's coming, and this is why I have this to look forward to, this blessing. And what is that crown, brothers and sisters, if not above all else, first and foremost, simply to be in God's presence and to rejoice eternally with him, to be crowned with his love, to be crowned with his uncreated energy, his grace, his very presence. And those who love his presence, who love to be with him, who love his appearing more than anything else, it will be sheer joy to meet him, when he comes again in his glory, you see, or when we depart from this life, whichever happens first, and we stand before him face to face, we have something to be eager for in that, something to be incredibly enthusiastic about, to long for with our whole heart. But not all love the Lord's appearing, and we know this. Not all long to meet the Lord above all other longings. Not all want with their whole heart to be in his presence. We know when the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel speaks about his coming again, when he's speaking about the last times and all of the things that will come to pass, he's foretelling all of that, and he says that when the nations of the earth see the sign of the Son of Man appear in the heavens, which is a sign that he's about to come himself, he says all the nations of the earth will mourn. They'll mourn. And of course, he's speaking about those who don't love his appearing, who aren't longing to be with him, those who reject him. And so when they see him coming, they mourn. But it should not be so with us, brothers and sisters. For us who are God's children, his adopted children, called to be his heirs, we should, you know, rejoice more than anything else in this world that may bring rejoicing to us, the thought of the Lord's appearing and being present with us causes us to rejoice as his children. What is it, though? What makes the difference between those who hate the Lord's appearing and those who love the Lord's appearing? And if perhaps we look in our hearts and we see that we don't maybe love the Lord's appearing as much as we could. What is it that can make the difference for us? And here we can look at the example of St. John the Baptist in the gospel passage that we hear for today. It's at the very beginning of St. Mark's gospel, and it talks about how St. John the Baptist comes preparing the way of the Lord. He's quoting from Isaiah, and he's saying, "Make his paths straight, prepare the way of the Lord." And he preaches repentance, and he calls people to baptism for the forgiveness of their sins, the purification of their hearts. But what is it about John that if we could imitate, we would, like St. John, be filled to overflowing with eagerness for the appearing of the Lord? I mean, St. John, he's incredibly enthusiastic about the Lord's coming. He's getting himself ready. He wants to get everybody ready, right? He's there to manifest the Lord, to watch for his coming, to say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." He's preparing himself for that, and how does he do it? And I'm not going to tell you that you have to eat locusts like St. John. That's not the thing that we have to imitate in order to be like St. John. But do you know what it is? He says, "After me comes one who is greater than me." He recognizes that Christ is the Lord. He recognizes that God is God. He recognizes that he's a creature and that he's as nothing before God. He says, "He's greater than I am. He must increase and I must decrease." And he says, "I'm not worthy to bow down and to untie his sandals. I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals," St. John says. So, in other words, he says, "I don't even see myself as worthy of being his servant, let alone of, you know, exalting myself to his level." So this is profound humility that St. John is communicating. On the other hand, there exists that Luciferian pride which desires to exalt itself. You know, those who are filled with pride, and we, when we allow ourselves to be filled with pride, we want to exalt ourselves. Not only do we think we're worthy of being God's servant, but we think we're better than that, beyond that. You know, what did Lucifer want? To be God's equal, or even to surpass him. Why should he get all the glory? Why shouldn't I be his equal? Lucifer said, and so he fell. But St. John the Baptist shows us the very opposite spirit. Not only am I not God's equal, I'm not even worthy to kiss his feet. I'm not worthy to be his servant. Nevertheless, in his mercy, he calls us not only to be his servants, but to be his children. So to deeply and radically and with all our heart to recognize this reality that we don't deserve anything that God gives us, that we're not even worthy to be his servants, and yet that he calls us to be his children, and to be completely filled with humility at that realization. And therefore, to recognize how good God is, that he gives us infinitely beyond what we deserve. And he will always give us infinitely beyond what we deserve. And you know, the meeting with the Lord, and by the way, the Lord is coming to us every day, right? Throughout each day. It's not only in his second coming, his final and glorious coming. It's not only that that we have to long for and that we ought to long for and that we, you know, want to experience, but also that experience of his presence that we have each and every day as Christians. We eagerly look for his appearing. How will he appear to me today? In what form, in what way will he come to me? How will he show himself? Will I have eyes to see? Will I have ears to hear? Will I receive what he has to give to me today? And if we have humility, we will. We'll see, we'll perceive, we'll hear, we'll know, we'll receive what he has to give us. So may it be so. And on this day, we commemorate a particular saint, Saint Genevieve of Paris, who exemplifies what it is to be a humble servant of God and to love his appearing. Saint Genevieve, from a very early age, about 7 or 8, she wanted to be a nun. And Saint Germanos, as the bishop, came and visited Paris once and spoke to her, and he saw in her great holiness. And he saw in her that she would become a nun, and she told him that she wanted to be a nun, and he blessed her to do that. And so, of course, and as time passed, she grew up, and she did, in fact, become a nun, although her mother wanted to stop her from becoming a nun, but miraculously, her mother was shown that this was God's calling for her. And because she had such a humble soul, and she humbled herself continually before God, and because she loved the Lord's appearing, she was open to his grace, and God's grace acted through her continually, you know, over and over again. So there were all of these miracles that took place in her life. And I'll just mention a couple of famous incidents. One was when Attila was invading, he was invading France, Gaul, and he was on his way to Paris with his army of Huns, you know. And they were going to invade Paris, and all of the men of Paris were terrified because, you know, he was infamous as this warlord and, you know, cruel and a military commander and everything. So they were afraid to face him. And Saint Genevieve, this girl, got up and rallied all of the men of Paris. And she said, "Don't be cowardly. Be courageous. Don't abandon your post here, your responsibility. But be steadfast and trust the Lord." And then she prayed fervently that God would deliver them. And so the men stood courageously, but they didn't even have to fight Attila and his Huns, because before they actually got to Paris, something happened. God providentially provided something, and they just stopped, and they left, and they went back. And so the people of Paris were delivered miraculously through Saint Genevieve's prayers. Another thing that she's famous for is that oftentimes, when candles or lamps would blow out, or they didn't have a flame, they didn't have a source of fire or something like that, she would pray and they would spontaneously light. And there was a particular incident that was a famous one, where she was with her nuns of her monastery, and she was leading them holding a lamp to the church. And it was a very stormy night, it was very dark, you know, the clouds were covering the stars and the moon wasn't out, and it was very, very dark, and they couldn't see their way. They had a long distance to go, and because of the storm and everything, it was very difficult. And the wind, she had this lamp, enclosed lamp, but the wind blew out the flame, and they had no other source of light. But she prayed, and it relit, and she was able to lead them the rest of the way. And this light really is symbolic of that loving the Lord's appearing. You know, to love the flame of God, to love the God who is the consuming fire, you know, that comes and consumes away all of the sin and all of the passions within us. And in Saint Genevieve, that flame burned brightly. So those flames spontaneously lit around her, showing God's presence, because she was one who was humble and who loved the Lord's appearing. But the last thing I'll mention about Saint Genevieve is that her relics were kept in Paris. And at the time of the French Revolution, the radical atheistic revolutionaries who hated the Lord's appearing, and really this shows, you know, what that revolutionary spirit was all about, that it was something Luciferian, it was something demonic. It was something that desired to overthrow all authority and to exalt ourselves, to exalt, man, human reason. You know, in the French Revolution, when they overthrew the government, they also were defiling the temples. And instead of, Notre Dame, dedicated to Our Lady, they wanted to set up a temple to reason. You know, something very pagan. This was the whole idea that was sort of animating that revolution. So they hated the Lord's appearing, and they hated anything that even reminded them of the Lord's appearing. So what did they do? They took the relics and they destroyed them. And they took St. Genevieve's relics and they threw them into the Seine River just to destroy them. But I was reading one account of her life, and it was so beautiful. It said, although they threw her relics into the river and tried to obliterate her memory, they said, "For all those who call upon her, she is alive and well. For all Christians who love her and know her as an intercessor, she is alive and well." Whatever they tried to do to her body. And in fact, the faithful there in France, the Christians, they went and gathered whatever small relics of her they could find from different churches throughout France and different places, and they brought them to Paris. So there would be relics of Saint Genevieve once again in Paris. But that point that for all those who love the Lord's appearing, and all those who, because they love the Lord's appearing, they love the saints, for all them, she is alive and well. She is interceding for us when we call upon her with faith. When, like her, we humble ourselves, when, like her, we love the Lord's appearing, when, like her, we endure to the end, and like St. Paul, she's with us, her intercessions are with us, and those of all the saints are with us as well. And in spite of the efforts of all the atheistic revolutionaries and radical people who want to overthrow the church and overthrow God that exists in the world, in spite of all of that, God is with us. We have nothing to fear. The saints are interceding for us. And we can look forward to those crowns that are laid up for us in the kingdom of heaven. So through the intercessions of Saint Genevieve, may we give our whole hearts to Christ. May we discover that true humility which empties us of all of our pride and all of our vanity and enables us to be filled instead with the grace of God. May we be given the strength and the courage to endure to the end. And may we with all our hearts love the Lord's appearing, that when the Lord is manifested to us in whatever way, both during the days of this life and at the end of our life and in the Lord's great second coming and in the final judgment, we might glorify our God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, always, now, and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.